the thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
"Dope!" It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
It's another week. Another week with the Data Doctors here in the Computer Corner.
We are here, yeah.
There's three for the price of one. And since you pay zero for one, zero times three, last time I checked, it's like 300, right?
Yeah, close.
30.
Negative.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Your hosts du jour today, Brandon Disney, that's me. Across from me and to my left, Clayton Moline. I call him Clay.
Yeah, he does.
Is it Clayton? Is it Clay?
It is Clayton. It is on my birth certificate, Clayton.
It is on your birth certificate.
Yeah, so it's got to be true.
All right, Clay. So it's Clay over there. And then on the right, it's Robert De Erizio. We don't shorten it up to Rob, though, for some reason.
I can't pronounce his last name. It's way too difficult.
Check it out. Ready? De Erizio.
Okay, that's too difficult.
I'll
just call him Robert D. How about that?
You can do
re. I can't roll my R's. Hey. Le. Le.
Re.
Re.
We could do what most of us do and Americanize it. Da Rezo.
Da Rezo.
Now, I can handle that.
There you go.
You know, we're actually, it's surprising. We're at 96 degrees, apparently, right now. Low 100s,
it says,
right?
It says 100 here on the official
iPhone,
KTAR.
The iPhone says 96.
Don't believe that.
What zip code do you
What I'm saying is, you know, I got no air conditioning in the car, and it feels cooler. It really does.
Cooler than 96? Or
cooler than
it was
115.
Right, well, because it is. So believe it or not, we're not a weather show. We don't talk about the weather much at all, actually.
No.
We generally talk about technology, about computers, about things that frustrate you or bring you joy, or both, because generally, technology has its moments, right, where most of the time, it's a good thing. It's something you like, you've come to rely upon. Take your cell phone as a great example. Most of the time, it's a fantastic thing. You can make calls, you can take pictures, you can text, you can do all these things that make your world more convenient. But it's also a nightmare when that call drops. It's also a nightmare when it rings at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's a wrong number.
Yes.
It's also a nightmare when you drop it in water and you lose the ability to call people because you don't remember phone numbers anymore because everything's on speed dial and you haven't synced it or backed it up. Well, the same thing applies to computers. The same thing applies to technology across our lives. And we're here for the next 2 hours to talk to you about technology, the things that frustrate you or the things that help you. And we've got lines open, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Of course, you can find us online at datadoctors.com/radio. Datadoctors.com. Click where it says radio show if the slash bothers you, confuses you, or makes you scared in any way, shape, or form. It's all good. It'll get you to the same place. There you'll see our theme. And if you've been listening to the show anytime over the last, just over a decade, you'll know that we come each week with a theme, something to sort of steer the show, shape the show, give us a landing point, something to talk about. And sometimes it's something topical. Other times it's just a reminder of things going on out in the world, or sometimes it's based on suggestions and feedback and information that you give us, which you can do right there on that page. Again, datadoctors.com/radio. This week's theme is sort of a topic we've landed on before and thought it bears some revisiting. And so it's signs of a computer meltdown revisited. So there's things that happen in life that you react to right now. And you react to those things in a much different way than you do with your computer. And I'll give you an example. The show you were just listening to before us with Mark Salem, it's a show all about cars and specifically about repairs. And most people don't drive their car until it breaks. Most people do things to help prevent it breaking down.
Most people.
Right. Because breaking down not only is inconvenient,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't do the preventative things, The breakdown generally costs you more money than all the money you would have spent over time on the preventative things. And so most people sort of get that. And the kinds of preventative things that most people do, at least at a minimum, are they rotate their tires, they change their oil, right? Those kinds of things. And that's normal. And it seems sort of silly to think that you would drive with some kind of weird ticking sound in your car. If there was some sound that you weren't used to hearing or it started vibrating and doing something it wasn't normally doing, that's something generally most people will check out, figure out, and try to resolve, or at least try to find out, is this a problem I need to deal with now to help prevent a bigger repair bill down the road? Or is it something that I can just sort of live with for a little while? Because maybe money's tight, maybe it's not the best timing. You know, that's fine. But we don't do that same kind of thing with our computers and our technology. We tend to just drive them, quote unquote, or run them, or use them until they're so bad we can't use them anymore, even though there's all kinds of signs. And they're if you're looking, they're big signs. Things telling you things are going wrong. Things are out of the norm. Things are unusual. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about some of those signs, some of those things that you can look for that if you know where to look and how to look, and we're not talking about a lot of work on your part. We're talking about something that takes you, in most cases, seconds, and in extreme cases, minutes of your life. And if you know the signs to look for and you know what they are and you know what they mean, we can help save you a lot of frustration with your technology, and we can help save you probably a lot of money with your technology. And so that's really the premise of today's show. And of course, we invite you to join us. You can ask questions about things that you think might be signs of an impending meltdown. Or you can tell us about the things that you do to help prevent problems. And some of you actually do this kind of stuff. You do preventative maintenance. You go and you back up. I mean, that's a big, big preventative thing. We all know that at some point we're going to lose some information that's important to us if we do nothing about taking steps to back up. The most basic and probably one of the most important preventative things you can do. So that's one of the things we'll talk about. We'll talk about your computer running slower and slower, or getting more and more pop-up messages, or that hard drive light that never seems to stop.
Exactly. What are those signs?
Those are some basic signs, and there's more. And if you stay tuned throughout the next 2 hours, you'll learn about all those things. Of course, your calls and questions, as important, maybe even more important. 602-277-5827. A quick timeout here. When we come back, we're jumping straight to your calls. It's the Computer Corner. The Data Doctor is in the house. Back in just a sec. Stick around. If you are a subscriber to our newsletter, which is just over 30,000 strong, you would have got our poll of the week. Which operating system do you use the most? Windows, Mac, Linux, there's lots more. No surprise that the leader at the moment, Windows, even though there's plenty of people now that that participate in using frequently more than one. I think at least two out of three in this room, you've got your MacBook.
I have a Mac sitting in front of me right now. I think that actually quite a few of the people that I know use multiple operating systems.
And what's funny is you probably like me. I bought a MacBook just so I would, you know, start to get more into that world, because, you know, we're in that technology world, mm-hmm. right? And I loaded Windows on it in addition to leaving the Mac thing there, made it so I could dual boot, I could do all this cool stuff,
yeah.
thinking I was going to, of course, be in the Windows world most of the time.
You were going to have to use it because you had the applications, programs that are Windows specific.
And I very rarely and very occasionally go into that Windows world when I'm on the Mac, but I still prefer my Windows-based computer when I'm in front of it. But it's not as big of a change as you sort of at first expect. So,
you know, and there's a lot of compatibility now between applications, and whether it be with the Mac operating system or Windows. In fact, I actually uninstalled my Mac or Windows partition.
You?
I know.
How dare you?
I found that I really just did not use it enough.
All right.
That being said, what was the percentage breakdown for the operating system?
You know, I'll have to check in on that again in a few minutes. I don't remember off the top of my head. We'll check into that as the show progresses. Of course, if you're not a subscriber and you want to become one, just go to our website, datadoctors.com. Look for the place where you put in your email address, and you press. I kind of pushed two words together. You press the subscribe button. It's almost that easy. There's like one other extra step, I think, but it's really easy. And we don't sell it. We control it. We don't put in garbage and ads and spam. And no, it's simple. It's straightforward. You'll see. If you want to get a preview when you're subscribing, there's on the right-hand side, I think the last 20 of our newsletters for you to preview first to see the kind of content that you'd be getting. So check that out. We're going to jump to the phones and talk to whoever's hanging out there. We got one line open, 602-277-5827. First up on the computer corner, it's Hans?
Yes.
Did I pronounce it properly?
You did.
See? Check it out. First one up. How can we help today, sir?
I have a master boot record error that I fixed, and now I have an operating system read error, something along those lines.
Something along those lines. Okay, so you've got a, I'm guessing, a Windows-based machine?
Yes.
Okay, and life was cruising along, everything was fine and dandy until one day, this is where you fill in the blanks, Hans.
Shut it down, reboot, press Alt Control Delete, do that, it loops, used an alternate boot CD, rewrote the master boot record, and then it is being as it is now.
Okay, so one of two things probably happened here, or there could be more than two things, but most likely one of two things. Either something got corrupted on that drive, meaning we got to go in and do some Windows repair stuff, and there's several different kind of ways about doing that, and the first and most obvious is to stick in your original Windows disk and sort of let it boot to that disk and try to do a repair, but that's not often very successful. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is that that drive actually has some damage, and the way to check that out would be, you know, if it was me and I was in front of the machine, I'd take the drive physically out of your machine. I'd attach it to another working machine, and then I'd run a couple of quick checks on it to check specifically for something called bad sectors.
Okay.
Because if the drive has bad sectors, that means that drive is in the early stages of failure, and you'd want to make sure you backed up. Well, you know what? You probably wouldn't care about backing up because you do that on a regular basis, right?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. See, I was not expecting that answer. Most people say, well, no, that's actually why I'm calling. So if you back up on a regular basis, then you're in great shape. The first thing you really got to determine is this a hard drive problem, which no amount of what you're going to do is going to resolve that problem. It's time to get a new drive and either try to salvage what you can and repair the pieces, and that's a little bit of a mess, or start from scratch as far as the operating system is concerned, restore all your important data, install your programs. A little bit of a commitment, but the best way to go if that's actually what's happening.
All right. Well, then tell me this. Say I don't have my Windows disk. How do I repair the operating? How do I do a repair installation?
You'll need to obtain a Windows disk.
Okay.
I mean, there's no way getting around that.
Plain and simple.
So if you don't have it, you'll need to... Do you have the original product key? Like, usually it's a sticker affixed to the side of the machine? Okay. So
I do have that.
You'll need to find a piece of media that matches. Now, the good news is, if it's a name brand manufacturer kind of computer, you can go back to the manufacturer, either through their website or on the phone, and I'd recommend start at the website because you'll spend a lot less time on hold. And oftentimes you can order for a very nominal fee, like a shipping and handling $20 kind of charge, a replacement set of media.
Okay.
And they'll send that to you. And it, in combination with that sticker you already have, gives you what you need. Now, if that doesn't work, then you might have to reach out to maybe local shops, places, buddies, friends, whatever. At the end of the day, if you have that sticker on the side of your machine, that's the legal license. The media is not, and so having somebody make you a copy of their media, as long as it's the same thing. So if you have a Windows XP Professional
or
OEM
edition,
whatever it is,
the edition might be.
As long as it matches, you're staying legal by getting replacement media through whatever source.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Fantastic. All right, thank you for your help.
You bet. Hey, good luck with that, and thanks for the call.
Right.
Oop, I think I cut Hans off. I feel sorry about that. Hans, sorry about that, man.
Just an accident.
We got a free line, 602-277-5827. Frank, Kurt, John, you all are up next, and there's room for you. Also, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those signs, the simple signs of an impending computer meltdown. So you'll want to stick around and stay tuned for that. It is the Computer Corner. Clayton Moline, Robert D'Arezio, and Brandon Disney back right after this short news break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
What are the signs that your computer is about to melt down? I mean, not literally. We talk about computer meltdowns. We talk about computer crashes. Nobody's computer crashes per se, right? But there are things that happen. Something you can all do right now. It's an easy one. You're sitting in front of your Windows-based computer. And assuming it's Windows, like 2000, Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows 7, anything made in the last 10 years or so, if you do a Control-Alt-Delete all at once, so hold down the Control button while continuing to hold the Alt button, now you've got those two still held,
and then
tap the
hit
Delete
that
button.
Delete button.
Right? When you do that,
you lose all of your data.
No.
Just kidding.
No. See, I'm going to do it right now. See, just to prove it, here in the studio, Control-Alt-Delete. Now, it's at a screen where you've got some choices. One of them, there's like six buttons. One of the buttons says Task Manager. If you click on Mr. Task Manager, then click where it says Processes on that little tab, and make sure the checkbox down at the lower left that says Show Processes from All Users is checked. Okay, so we Control-Alt-Delete, Task Manager, Processes tab, and then in the bottom left, Show Processes from All Users. We're going to make sure that's checked. Now, the very, very bottom left shows the total number of processes right now running on your computer.
How many processes should be running, Brandon,
if that
on a healthy computer?
Well, it's going to depend on the operating system and a couple of other factors. Laptops and notebooks generally have a few more than desktops, that kind of thing. And if you know the newer the operating system, probably the few more processes you're going to have. But as a baseline, quickie kind of rule, if that number is over 75, no matter what operating system you have, you've got a lot of stuff going on there. And so then the next question becomes, well, how do I get rid of all the stuff, and why is that bad? And we can get into some of those details.
So wait, more processes is not better. It's not more processing power?
No. This is how much stuff is running right now just out of the machine just
stuff
sitting there idle.
Stuff you probably don't even know is running in the background.
And that's where the scare comes in, right? Because stuff you know is running is fine. For example, down there next to your time, you probably got like something that indicates that you've got antivirus software that's protecting you. That's a good process running. The fact that it's running is not necessarily great for all the performance, but it's a necessary evil, we'll say. Okay? And if you open up Word as an example, that's running. Well, that's fine because you wanted that to happen. You're going to write a document, right?
Exactly.
You open up your email application, you go online, all these things take up processes. And the more processes you have running, two things happen. The less resources, that's the processor, the memory, those kinds of things, you have left to handle more tasks, and the more potential for conflict. And so less is more when it comes to processes running simultaneously. And so now if you have a Windows XP-based machine, which is what more people probably have listening than anything else, that number that I said before, that number of processes, if you're probably above 50, that's a lot.
And we want to clarify this by saying when you're hitting Control-Alt-Delete to check this, make sure all of your programs are closed.
Sure.
So that you can see what's running in the background without, you know, getting a inflated number.
You know what's the funnest part of this task manager is the graph, the performance gauge that kind of tells you how hard your CPU's working, how much page file usage you're using when you're doing nothing.
Yep. And if that thing's bouncing all over the place and going up and down and up and down and you're not doing anything, you're just watching it, that's something else. There's things there that need explanation as to why they're running and what they are. And so The potential meltdown issue here is that you may have spyware, adware, Trojans, viruses, all kinds of stuff. And so this just tells you that there may be a problem. Figuring out what the problem is, it's like the check engine light, right? That only tells you that there's some kind of problem.
Doesn't tell you what it is.
Right. So then it's figuring out what it is and eliminating the problem, or sometimes it may not actually be a problem. So if I said you having over 50 processes is in general high, for some people, because of the kinds of things that they do, that may be perfectly acceptable. I don't think there's any reason why somebody should have more than probably 75 or 80 under any circumstance.
Yeah.
And so there's things there that need to be addressed, need to be taken care of. That's just one of several things. And we've got some other resources posted for you.
So this task manager is a check processing light, kind of.
It's a check engine.
If you had a little light, yeah.
A lot of this stuff is going to be check engine lights. But that's we're comparing this to your car. And the same idea that you don't drive it until it doesn't work anymore and then say, oh, well, screw it, I'll just buy a new one, right? You don't drive it until it doesn't work anymore and then figure out what it's going to cost to repair it. you do some things to help prevent problems, and you watch for obvious signs. We just told you about one of the simple signs to watch for. We've got more listed, and we've got some of the things we'll talk about that you can do as preventative maintenance as the show progresses. All the information, all the links, all the stuff you're looking for, datadoctors.com/radio.
Also, if you have any questions related to hard drive issues or slowing of your computer, you can use Twitter if you're one of those Twitter people out there.
Yeah.
Send a message to DDDR and see if we can answer some of those questions too.
Because Clay's watching that right now.
I'm right there ready to help anyone who's listening.
He's on top of it.
Yes.
So check it out. And of course, you can call in once you hear somebody else hang up, because all the lines are booked up, and that means we should probably talk to some of these people. Up next, it's Frank on the Computer Corner. Frank, how can we help, sir?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm trying to... I got a question that maybe you can answer, I hope.
We hope we can, too.
How is it possible to trace somebody down at Yahoo's that emails you all the time?
So, you're getting emails from someone all the time. First, yes. Is it possible to trace? In theory, yes. In practical reality, maybe, maybe not. I mean, there are some things. So when you get every email message that's sent contains something that you don't really see for the most part called a header. And that header contains some technical information in it, including where it was sent from, specifically okay. The IP address of the person who originally sent it, if it was in fact not being spoofed, right? And
okay.
All the servers it passed through on the way from them to you ultimately.
Okay.
Now, what that information is going to do for you in most cases is very little, but in reality, that is the trace, quote unquote. So now you're going to get back this IP address of where it originated. In and of itself, that does nothing for you. Now you can take that and do some lookups and figure out probably what network they're on. So for example, if they were on here in the Valley, let's say they were on Quest or they were on Cox or they were doing it from their mobile phone. So it was AT&T or Verizon or whatever, right? So okay. So that only gets us partway there. And you may be able to know what municipality, what city, what region, something like that. Beyond that, to go a whole lot further, you're generally going to have to get the cooperation of the internet service provider that they work with. And most internet service providers aren't going to do anything for you without some kind of court order.
Okay.
And so the point of all this is that if you're getting email from somebody and you're getting a lot of it and you don't want to get it from them anymore and they're not stopping by you asking, then you need to do something to block them. And you can generally, depending on the email client you're using and things, you can make them, you can blacklist them or create them as anything that I receive from this particular email address. Let's just mark it as spam. Now, if it's truly a spammer and it's not somebody, but really something, a program or a process, that address is going to change every time they send because that's just the way most spam works these days. And so you're not going to be real successful at blocking that particular person who's really hopping all over. But if it's really a human being that keeps bugging you and you don't want to deal with them anymore, you blacklist them.
Okay, we got to know who to blacklist. That's the thing. That's what I'm after.
Well, I mean,
if I can find out who it is, I can take care of it, but that's beyond right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you had unlimited resources, meaning time and money, you can absolutely figure out probably who it is. The reality is that it will take a lot of time and possibly some money to make that happen. So you have to decide if it's worth it or not. And if so, then, you know, good luck.
All right. Oh, no, it's worth it and it's worth the money. I'm going to have to do it. But I appreciate your time and thank you a lot.
You bet. Good luck with that, Frank.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Did he say when he found somebody he would do something
I didn't want to get into. He said he was going to take care of it, and you know, I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
This extreme. Extreme.
Yeah. Let's go to our next caller.
He could mean that he was going to ask them kindly to stop face to face.
That's. Right. I'm sure that's what.
In
he
the
meant.
World we live in today, right?
That seemed reasonable.
Yeah.
Frank seemed like a reasonable kind of guy.
Let's ask.
No, let's not. Don't ask, don't tell. Right. Up next, it's Kurt on the Computer Corner. Kurt, welcome. How can we help, sir?
How you doing, Kurt?
Hi. I have a problem uploading files from my hard drive to the web. Also, actually attaching pictures and files like that to emails.
Okay.
I'm either getting a system error or it just resets the browser.
Okay. So most commonly, if you're trying to upload pictures specifically, especially through email, There are size limitations in a lot of cases, and if these pictures are, like, say you have your nice new Everything that's a digital camera these days, even the cheapest ones, are like 10 megapixel.
Yeah, they're getting.
And so if you take those pictures, take them, and then try to upload them and send them to somebody, it ain't going to happen, Captain. You got to have something in between to compress those things and chop them down to size, because that's just not the best way in the world to sort of share anymore.
Maybe we could ask what kind of site are you uploading these to?
Actually, using Yahoo, I understand what you're talking about. I've had to resize photos before.
Okay.
But also, you know, anything on my computer that I'm trying, even like Facebook, if I try to upload a photo, or even if I'm trying to use some music-making software, if I'm trying to access any kind of patch or anything, it's just kind of doesn't find anything anymore.
So are you using, what browser do you use?
It's a Internet Explorer.
Have you by any chance downloaded and tried Mr. Firefox?
Yeah, I've tried Firefox, and I can't remember if on that one I got the DLL message or if it just closed the browser completely.
Sounds like you got lots of issues going on there, sir.
Yeah, it might be something more than just the...
You know those signs of a meltdown we're talking about? You may be halfway through one. I mean, it's at some point, if you've tried multiple browsers, you're getting the same kind of problem, it's consistent, it's not just with one site, then that means you've got some problems with your computer that need to get addressed, and that's either you doing a bunch of... I mean, everything comes down to some time or some money, right? So either you're going to do a bunch of research and ask friends and bribe people with adult beverages and whatever it takes to get something fixed, or you're going to seek out some professional help and pay someone to take care of it for you.
Yeah, I have one of you guys nearby in Maricopa, so I was thinking about bringing it in anyway.
Those guys down in Maricopa are fantastic. So when you go down there, they will take fabulous care of you, I'm 100% sure. And of course,
what's the bench charge, can you say? Or?
You know what? We don't charge anything to take a look and to figure out sort of what's going on and give you some options. And so they'll do that all for free and go from there. And it really varies and depends on the problem you're having. But we're the kind of guys that will look you in the eye and say, here's what's going on. Here's what we see. Here's some options. What do you want to do?
Okay, and as far as, would you recommend just like re-uploading Windows completely? Or
generally, I don't recommend that as a first option. I mean, it's always an option, but that's certainly the easiest way from a technical standpoint, but the most painful way for you. And so we generally try to avoid that because pain's no fun, right?
And there's so much you have to do after the fact.
It works for everything else. I can sit there and watch cartoons on it or whatever, you know.
Yeah, well, take it on down. Have them take a look at it. They'll help steer you from there, all right?
All right, thanks.
Hey, thanks for the call, Kurt. We appreciate it. Good luck with that. That frees up a line, 602-277-5827. A quick timeout here when we come back. More of your calls and questions. It's the Computer Corner. Did you guys see Steve Jobs? He's back from the dark side? Or from the hospital bed? Or
I wouldn't call that the dark side. But
wasn't looking so hot for a while. We thought you might be getting taken off by the Reaper.
It was nice to see him out and presenting again.
Presenting though this year for Apple, the last it's been 4 or 5 years in a row of at their big annual let's do our show about all the cool new stuff. It's been hit after hit after hit, starting back with the iPod, right? That later became the smaller iPod and yet smaller iPod.
Smaller and smaller, and then you couldn't find it, iPod.
Right, and then they went over and hit big with the iPhone, and then the iPhone 3G and the iPhone 3GS, and then they got back to the iPod, and they did the Apple TV, which was sort of,
they can make a lot of improvements there. But
this last one.
And then the Apple tablet coming out here.
Yeah, but this last deal that happened just this last week, which was their big annual let's show the world all the cool stuff that's coming out and launch party and that kind of stuff, was like, it's back to the iPod again. And
it's not like they do this just once a year. I mean, they have several events during the course of a year where they're putting out new products.
The only thing that was exciting about this was Steve Jobs is back. Which is really, that was the highlight, right? The product, there was nothing really of any importance.
There's some nice product upgrades.
I'm iPod-ed out.
Your iPod-ed
out. We've had a lot of iPod stuff. Something new. Ready for something new.
You have an iPhone, though.
That's
an iPod in and of itself.
That's what's really cool.
It's the coolest iPod.
No one's caught up yet. No one.
Well, some people would argue that Microsoft with their little Zune device.
Well, I mean, you look at even just talking phones for a second, the Palm Pre, after... they were doing a comparison between the Palm Pre and Apple iPhone. And within a three-month period of time after the individual had bought the device, some 88% of people were highly satisfied with the iPhone, whereas Palm Pre, I think, was around 50%.
You know what makes it high is the cool factor of the iPhone.
And by the way, I'm not getting paid by Apple to say this. So
you know why they win the war every time and why they will continue to for a while? Because there's an app for that. I mean, that's really the draw,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
There's my bank has an app. The place, Chipotle has an app. Everybody has, and half of them are worthless, but there's some that are really actually make life a little more convenient.
Even the Amazon app, the eBay app, both are very functional. I mean, of course, if you're a Facebook user, you know, the new app for iPhone, amazing. There's no comparison with any other phone device.
All right, we're going to get all kinds of hate calls now. So.
Okay.
We got a line open, 602-277-5827. By the way, we're talking about the signs of a meltdown, things you can do, and some preventative maintenance things. So we've got links for you, some things to watch for, datadoctors.com/radio. In case I said it too fast, datadoctors, that's plural, .com/radio. You'll see, if you scroll down under this week's links, top five signs of meltdown, how to keep processes under control, what's the grinding sound mean? That one's near and dear to Clay's heart.
Oh, yes.
How to check free drive space, because running out of drive space will absolutely create a meltdown for you. Videos of dying laptop hard drives and grinding CPU fans. The click of death.
Another issue.
Why is everything of death? Blue screen of death.
Because,
click of death.
Because what comes right after?
Death.
Right. And death is the thing we're actually talking about trying to avoid. So
preventative maintenance.
Take a few minutes. If it's not now, if you're out driving around doing whatever, later, look at some of those videos so that you can identify some of the signs, right? If you hear this tick, 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 and the grind, grind, grind sound, you need to know what they sound like so you know if you got a problem. Check those things out. Again, datadoctors.com/radio.
We'll be right back.
We got a full another hour, so we want you to stick around. Of course, coming up, our Geek Speak of the Week, our Head Whack of the Week, more of your calls and questions, and Robert's going to say something. Exciting stuff. Stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We're one man down at the moment. But fear not, Clay will return. So for the next hour, you still got three data doctors. It's Clayton Moline, Robert D'Arezio, and Brandon Disney here to hook you up with all the knowledge, all the skills. Whatever we got inside our heads, it's all yours. And you can join us online at datadoctors.com/radio, datadoctors.com. Click where it says radio show. You'll see the theme we're talking about today, the signs of a computer meltdown, all kinds of links, things you can watch for, things that will learn you on how to avoid some of the meltdown problems that occur. And, of course, you can join us via the telephone, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. We're going to jump to those lines in just a second. But before that, it's time for a little segment we call our Geek Speak of the Week. Each and every week, we scour. We comb through. We devour the entire internet, looking for a phrase, a term, some vernacular, something to help you understand what people are talking about when they're trying to talk all geek to you. I don't think it's quite actually that dramatic. We spend a few minutes, we find something interesting, we put it together, we call it the Geek Speak of the Week, and that's where Robert comes in. Robert, take it away.
Well, how many of us drive while intoxicated? Probably not many, but
yeah,
because of the laws, right?
Well, more than the laws, once you have kids, and you have kids too, so you get this, right?
Yep.
You think about the world in a different way. And so something happens where you figure out that there's other people out there, and you probably got to at least be halfway decent as a human being and not, like, put people in danger. So you don't drink and drive. Easy, right?
But what about driving while intoxicated?
Intoxicated.
Intoxicated.
I think I already get what that means for one of the few times. So driving and texting, right?
Driving and texting.
And a lot of people do that and don't think that's very irresponsible, even though they would never think about drinking and driving. And so is there a big difference? You're still distracted. You're still doing something, allowing something to take your focus away from the big killer automobile you're driving. You don't think of it as a killer, do you?
And if you're driving while intoxicated with an iPhone, well, you know, you have to look at the iPhone to be able to text, unless you just text gibberish. So
yeah,
that's even scarier.
That is scarier. And if you're texting from an old school where you have to press each thing three or four times to get the letter, right? Because it's at first it's the number three, but then you press it again and it's the letter D and then E and then F or whatever it is, right? That's even scarier. Intoxicating.
Intoxicated.
That's the Geek Speak of the Week.
Don't do it.
A little bit weak, isn't it?
Isn't there going to be some laws that they're trying to get passed out here for this?
A lot of states have the laws. And, I mean, sort of some people's argument is that you don't need to legislate common sense. But maybe some people need a little help recognizing that that's a big problem. And so yeah, it's likely to become law of the land everywhere, mostly at the pushing, we'll say, of the federal government, who will withhold funding for interstate highways and things for particular states who don't decide to make that part of their laws. So, yeah, likely we'll see that roll out everywhere, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Anyway. It's just going to be hard to determine whether or not you were texting or just holding your phone to look good.
Yeah, but holding your phone to look good is still kind of a weird thing, right? So, I don't know.
There's some weird people.
I don't know. Let's jump back on the phones and help out some weird people or some not-so-weird people, whichever the case might be. Up next, it's John on the Computer Corner. John, are you one of the weird people?
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck. Somebody told me to clean my browser.
Somebody told you to clean your browser?
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Well, my mom used to tell me to clean my room growing up, but I don't know if there's anything like cleaning your browser.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, and I don't know how to do it, and this is my first time hearing y'all, and
Well, John, where the heck have you been all my life, John? We've been on this station for over a decade, and well, it's the first time you've heard us. I'd be a little ashamed to admit that if I was you, John.
Yeah, well, you know my color.
So, John, when they say you need to clear out your browser, what they're probably talking about, what they're probably referring to, is that you need to clear your browser's cache. And it's not the kind of cache like C-A-S-H, like the greens, right? We're talking about the cache is a fancy term for it's sort of its memory. And so depending on the browser you use, the steps are a little bit different, but for the most popular browser that most of us use, Internet Explorer, you'd simply, with Internet Explorer, you can actually close it. It's the easiest way. So you close Internet Explorer, go into your control panel, which you find by clicking on Start, and then Control Panel or Start Settings in Control Panel, depending on how your system's configured.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're in the control panel, you're going to find an Internet Options icon. And if you don't see that, you might have to click on, you know, show the classic view, which is in the upper left-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've double-clicked on Internet Options, and we've got this big Internet Properties thing that'll open up, and there's all kinds of different tabs. But the good news is that what we want to do is on the first tab, the General tab, specifically under Browsing History, there's a big Delete button that if you click on that, it's going to give you some choices. And the first thing in those choices you can delete temporary internet files, you can delete cookies, history, form data, passwords, all these things. The only one you really probably care about cleaning up are these temporary internet files, which is the first one. So you just click on delete files. It'll ask you, are you sure you want to do this kind of thing? You say yes, and give it a few seconds to sort of do its thing, and you've just cleared out your browser. Now, whether that's going to solve your problem or not, I don't know, because I don't really know what your problem is other than that symptom you told me.
Yeah, well, I done learned more just sitting here listening. This thing's like, I'll be saying, like, well, I can't make this fast.
You can't.
I go to data doctor and would this information be on there?
Well, we've got information on our site, absolutely, datadoctors.com. If you use that little search box that's there, you can type, you know, I want to clear my cache and spell it C-A-C-H-E. C as in Charlie, A as in apple, C-H as in Charlie again. E is an egg, and
okay.
you're going to find, I'm sure, all kinds of information about how to do that. Or, of course, you can use Google and do the same kind of thing, and you'll find step-by-step directions. The other thing you might want to consider is do yourself a little favor. Go and download an alternate browser. It's free. It's called Firefox.
I got Firefox.
Perfect. So you've got two alternatives. When you have a problem in one, you can switch to the other and see if the problem is still there. And if not, then we know it's a problem with the browser or some setting or some issue. And so it's a good way to help troubleshoot issues.
Okay, and tell Baby Bro, I'm sorry, but I'm a black Indian, so they call me Pohan John. But thank you, and I'll see you next weekend.
Awesome.
I know you're here.
Yes, we are here, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks for the call,
John.
All
right, hey, y'all have a good week. God bless y'all all.
Thank you, sir. We got a line open. I don't know what else to say. There's a line open, 602-277-5827. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we got more of your calls and your questions on the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner.
We are here for almost an hour. Oh, about 45 minutes left, right?
Yeah, welcome back, by the way.
All of us are here. Again.
You got three. If you got questions and concern, like your data loss issues, you've got the man, the guy that if I ran into troubles with information and data, he's the first guy I'd turn to. So, if that means anything to you.
And he does, and he has.
And I will continue, I'm sure. So if you don't have those kinds of issues, Robert's the guy that... if that means anything to you.
And he does, and he has.
And I will continue, I'm sure. So if you don't have those kinds of issues, Robert's the guy that is like the general knowledge guy about lots of things Windows-related, and then just a heck of a nice guy. So that's what he's around here for. And I'm just here to push some buttons and make sure we don't get out too late for breaks and stuff like that. So between the three of us.
That's pretty much all you really do on the show.
I'm a button pusher.
That's
my title.
I want to go back to, really quick, the task manager, because we were talking about viewing status.
Yep.
The page file usage.
Okay.
If it's high, explain it. What are some of the things we could do to lower that, and what happens if it caps out?
You know, that's a tough one, because there's no, you know, the other thing we could talk about, the number of processes running. And by the way, if you're looking to play along and understand what we're talking about, this joins a previous conversation, but we've got resources at datadoctors.com/radio. The first link we got, the five signs of a computer meltdown, that leads into what we're talking about. The number of processes is a fairly straightforward thing we can talk about in relative terms, and it's easy for people to sort of get, well, this is good, this is bad, this is somewhere in between. When it comes to page file usage, there's no rule of thumb. As an example, if you've got something running on your machine that uses a local database, and this might be getting a little bit out there for a sec, but just follow me. Database programs, by design, are designed to take and utilize as much memory as is available, but give it back at will to other programs. And so they, as a rule, will take many of the computer resources available and utilize them, and that's not a bad thing. That's just a design feature, if you will. So trying to look at things like page file usage, there's no, without me sitting down or somebody that technically understands things, sitting down and looking at someone's computer when it comes to that kind of stuff, it gets real specific. There's no way to give you a quick rule of thumb that you can look at. What I can tell you is that in that place where we're looking at that task manager we talked about, so you do control alt delete, click on task manager. We were looking specifically at processes before, that performance tab. If the machine's sitting idle and that thing is going all over the place, it looks like somebody's EKG, like the heart meter. Dr. Sam knows what I'm talking about. It bounces up and down. That's a normal thing. That's a good thing if you're alive. In a computer, that's not a good thing if you're not doing anything, because your computer should just be kind of chilling.
Flatline,
exactly.
But we'd be dead.
But you sort of want your computer, when you're not using it, to be laying there sort of playing dead, right? And so if it's not playing dead, that means something else is giving it life that you're not aware of, and that can be a problem. Now, there are exceptions to that. Like if your antivirus software is doing its daily or weekly full scan, that kind of thing, well, of course it's going to be bouncing all over the place. If there's some maintenance task running, like a defrag of your hard drive or anything like that,
update,
of course it's going to be bouncing all over the place. But if it's just sort of hanging out there, you're not doing anything, you're not downloading anything, your programs are closed, and it's bouncing all over the place, that's something that needs to be investigated, because that could be a big problem. So just one of the signs, one of the things to look for.
Got an interesting question here, just submitted via Twitter. We have a gentleman, my computer says Task Manager is disabled.
Task Manager has been disabled? Well, there's two. If it says it's been disabled by your administrator, that means you're probably not a administrator as far as who you're logged in as. And so mm-hmm. you may need to log out and log back in as somebody that's a computer administrator, and or make your regular account a computer administrator account. There's also the ability to run Task Manager as an administrator, depending on the operating system you're in. That gets a little bit tricky. So
right.
the steps, you can sort of Google for that, because it depends on exactly what operating system and a bunch of other parameters. But the easiest way is just log in as administrator if that's what's preventing you. Now, if you still get that same kind of problem and you know you're logged in as an administrator and you're getting that kind of message, that's a decent sign that you've got some kind of virus. And there are some out there that specifically try to disable your ability to access your antivirus software, your ability to go in and edit the registry, your ability to run diagnostic tools that are built into Windows. And so if those kinds of things have been disabled and you're not able to do those things, and you are sure you're sort of set up as a computer administrator, then that needs to be checked out too. All signs that point to something not right, right? So you should definitely not ignore those things. Get them checked out. And do a little hunting, find some friends, do whatever it takes to figure out what's going on there. Because letting it stay the way it is, it's going to cost you more in time, frustration, and money in the long run. So just some quick ideas. Again, we got more links, more information for you if you want to check on sort of the quick health of your machine, understand what the signs are to look for. datadoctors.com/radio. How did that happen?
Another break?
I was going to talk to Justin, Herb, Greg, Peggy, Tom. You guys have been sitting there a while, and I want to definitely get to your calls. So when we come back from the break, I promise you we're going to jump straight into calls. We're going to talk to all of you. As long as you're patient with us and you hang out there, I promise you we will talk to you. We will help you. Even if we can't get you on there, we will get you off. One way or another, we'll get you help. So if you sit tight, be patient with us. We really appreciate it.
Twitter your questions to DDDR. We'll try to answer them that way, too.
DDDR. That's a lot of D's.
That's a lot of D's. Data Doctors, Data Recovery.
Oh, I see what that is.
Yes, that's...
I get it now. Lots more Computer Corner coming up. When we come back, stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We've got a half hour of show left. If you missed any part of the show, you can get yourself all caught up on all the resources that are posted right now for you. And of course, anytime online at datadoctors.com/radio. As I promised before we went to break, we're going to jump right in on the phones and talk to people, hook them up with knowledge and skills. That's with a Z, in case you're wondering. We've got two lines open, 602-277-5827. It's 277 KTAR. Up next here, it's Tom on the Computer Corner. Tom.
Oh, hi. Morning.
Good afternoon, actually. I know you've been holding for a while, which probably seems like since this morning.
I was up real late last night, so I just got up, actually, a little while ago.
Oh, well, then good morning to you.
Yeah. I've got I'm running Windows XP with the Service Pack 2 still, and recently I downloaded and installed the Service Pack 3, and it just fouled up my computer completely. Did not want to do anything.
Okay.
And so I figured, well, I'll uninstall it, and I couldn't uninstall it.
Yeah, service packs are one of those things that technically they're supposed to be uninstallable, yeah. But in practice,
rolling them back just doesn't.
I tried everything I could, every way I could think of to get rid of it, and I couldn't. So finally, I had to just, you know, use a restore point and go back to before I installed it. But you know, they have the CD option I can buy from them for it to get it.
Well, so before you jump into all that, as a normal course of what we do in our everyday professions that we get paid for during the week, we update people's computers as part of a general service we provide.
Mm-hmm.
And in many, many, many cases, we're installing Windows XP Service Pack 3 for them because that's part of what's not been there, and that's part of what helps protect them from all kinds of issues. And I can tell you, a machine that's running well, with that applied, in general, there's no problems. So if you have problems when you're applying a service pack, it's almost always really just a matter of it's uncovering a problem that was already there to begin with.
Well, I left something out. We have dial-up service. We're still...
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, it's,
wow. You know what century this is, bro?
It's a confluence of situations, but okay. You know, that's the way it is. I'm stuck with it right now.
I hear you.
And our phone lines here are, the cables are like 35 years old. And anytime there's any water situations, the irrigation or rain, static gets real bad. And so, you know, I have trouble with downloads quite often. So I'm my guess is that somehow the download was corrupted. But when I installed it, it didn't say anything. Usually,
yeah, if downloads are corrupted,
it'll tell me.
You'll know. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll tell you when you try to download it. See, something's not right. We can't install it. But it didn't say anything. It just installed it and tried to start back up.
Okay.
So
it certainly doesn't hurt if you want to order the disc. That,
well, I'm just wondering. You know, they're gonna kill XP soon anyway.
Well, I mean, if you want to believe they quote unquote have been talking about quote unquote killing it for a long, long time.
Right.
The reality is it's going to die when people allow it to.
Well, I know. That's my question. Is it worth, you know, buying the disc and installing it? Or am I really missing anything by not doing it? Because I run Windows Update regularly, so I'm not sure just what. I know there's something there that I don't have.
Yeah,
I'm
mean,
not sure what it is.
So in theory, yes, you're missing some things.
Yeah.
Having said that, if you have Windows XP and Service Pack 2 installed and you regularly visit and update your you know, all the other patches that are available, and you keep your antivirus up to date and things like that, you're probably going to be in fine shape. And in some cases, I actually recommend against Service Pack 3, and particularly if it's an older computer with not a lot of memory, because it does use a little bit more resources to help keep you protected. That's part of the trade-off.
Yeah, my computer's about maybe 4 years old.
Okay.
Maybe, and I've got a 1 gigabyte, and I'm going to double it.
Yeah. I would think, I mean, you're always taking a chance in everything you do in life, right?
Yeah.
But you know, if you're pretty responsible about the way you get on the Internet, and it sounds like you have no choice because of your connectivity at the moment.
Right. I'm just wondering if it's worth the trouble and expense, if I can, should just, you know, go without it.
I mean, if I was you, I'd ride that pony you got there until she's dead. And
sure.
By that time, we're going to be well past Windows Vista. And, you know, in another month, we've got Windows 7 coming out.
Right.
And I can tell you from experience that it's a much better experience than what we've had with Vista, and at some point you're going to be probably replacing that machine, and so yeah, I mean, I think you'd probably be in okay shape.
There's nothing wrong with using XP. In fact, myself and pretty much everyone I know continue to use XP because of some of the flaws in Vista, but Windows 7, as Brandon has just stated, there's a lot more to come that is going to make life a bit easier and things that aren't quite so frustrating with Vista.
Okay.
So it sounds like you've got a decent plan there, Tom.
So I can just forget about playing with that.
Yeah, I mean, what you got right now, if it's working for you and you're willing to stay up with the updates like we talked about and you're pretty responsible about how you surf the Internet,
yep.
I think you've got a decent plan.
Okay, yeah, I'm real good, except I like to look at Brandy's pictures once in a while, but you know how that is.
I understand that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I didn't want to explore that a whole lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thought it'd be a bit better just left where
What's
it was.
What's with the calls?
I don't know. It's good calls. What are you talking about?
Yeah. They're odd.
It's what makes this show so intriguing.
Speaking of intriguing, we've got Herb, who's been hanging out for a really long time.
Hey, Herb, how you doing?
Good. And you?
Great.
How can we help, sir?
Hey, I'm also running Windows XP. I've got the service pack update 2 on. But about a year ago, maybe a little bit more, I got a notice to update for Microsoft Outlook junk email filter.
Yep.
And ever since I tried to do that, I haven't been able to download any updates for Microsoft Office 2003.
Okay.
Now, there was also, I think, an authentication tool.
Authentication.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say. Anyway, so I did that, and it never told me that I wasn't authentic, but, you know, these two things happen together, and all of a sudden I can't. It tells me I have 14 updates every time, and it only update 1 or update 2, and there's a string up on Office 2003 that just won't update.
Okay. So there's a couple of things. Number one, the the Office junk mail rule filter, whatever thing that happens, that's about a monthly thing Microsoft releases. And generally, if you're using Outlook, it's a good thing. It's going to help weed out a lot of the garbage for you.
But it never downloads and updates. It's one that's always there, but never...
It's on the list? Says, I gotcha.
On the list, you know, if there's 18 of them, it'll say 2 succeeded and 16 failed.
So it sounds like it's when it doesn't install and when it says a couple of failed, usually there's a link you can click on or something you can click on to get some details about why it failed.
Okay.
And if you spend a little bit of time and click on that, if it's not in plain English that you recognize that makes you go, aha, then copy down exactly what it says or copy it and paste it into your Google browser or in a browser or a Google session, right? I bet you're going to find all kinds of resources on exactly the problem you're having, because I'm sure your problem is not going to be unique in this world. It's just going to be specific, and without knowing what it is, it's going to be pretty tough to run down.
Well, the other thing that started happening is I have a 100 gigabyte hard drive, and all of a sudden I started losing gigabytes by the tens. And every time I would delete stuff off my hard drive to make room, within a month it would eat up all that space, you know, like 25 gigabytes.
Okay.
I just put a new semantic email and virus thing on there because I was fed up with McAfee. But so I still haven't been able to figure out why I'm losing, you know, tens of gigabytes at a time.
Well, a couple things. When you're deleting this stuff, are you actually deleting it, or actually is it going into your recycle bin, which really is not really going to free up any space?
I'm pretty savvy about going through all the hidden places and taking it out.
Okay. You might want to go and check a couple of things, specifically your in Internet Explorer. Make sure that it's not set to have crazy amounts of what we call internet cache or temporary internet files.
I've done that, and I've taken off the restore point thing too. So
yeah, these days, if you have a high-speed internet connection, we recommend the setting for temporary internet files be set to 50 megabytes, which in the old days that used to be several gigabytes. Because we had slow connections, these days 50 actually makes you more efficient and will make your internet experience faster.
All right.
So, you know, check those kinds of things. You've turned off your system restore, which I don't know that I do necessarily, but if you feel comfortable, confident, that kind of thing, then great. You know, other than those couple of things, if you're losing drive space regularly, you might also want to check out that hard drive and do a couple of sort of fitness tests on it, specifically checking to make sure there's no bad sectors. Because that's something that will lose drive space without actually holding files.
Okay.
And that can cause all kinds of crazy problems. And so, that's something definitely to address.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Herb. Good luck with all that.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Losing drive space. 10 gigabytes at a time.
Wow.
That's freaky. That's a sign that there might be a meltdown, and Herb's doing the right thing. He's not just sort of living with it until the thing breaks completely and he can't use it anymore. He's trying to figure out what's going on. I know something's not right.
Ten gigabits at a time is...
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing. I mean, what Herb's doing, he hasn't necessarily found the problem yet, but he's not living with a problem that he knows is already there. He's not burying his head in the sand. He's trying to figure it out. And that's what you need to do when you see something that's unusual. You need to spend a little bit of time, whether it's waiting for us on Saturdays here, and giving us a call, or whether it's calling up your buddy who knows more about this stuff than you do, or whether it's taking it to somebody, whatever it is, you need to not ignore those signs.
The problem is not going to go away by itself.
No, and it's only going to get worse. And what happens, see, we as a course of what we do during the week, we get people coming in that are frustrated. They're living with stuff, and when they get their computers back, they're going, gosh, I lived with all that because I thought that was normal. And when you finally see what normal is, and you realize it's not what you've been living with, it's a whole different world, and the two things happen. One, you're going to drive up the cost of a repair when something eventually makes it so bad you won't use it anymore or can't use it anymore, and you're also going to make it take longer to fix, which those are the two biggest things you're trying to avoid when it's time to get it fixed, right? I want the thing back as soon as possible and for the least amount possible. Well, you can participate in that. That's what today's show is about. That's what the resources posted at datadoctors.com/radio are all about. And
Normally when your computer's slowing down, it's not age, and everyone gets that mixed up with the age of my system. It's just getting slower. It's problems starting to arise.
Stuff that hasn't been addressed in a long time. So anyway, we got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we got Joe, we got Peggy, we got room for you. It's 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Welcome back. It's the final segment here on the Computer Corner. Again, if you missed any part of the show, Robert, where do they go?
They go to datadoctors.com/radio. The www is not necessary. I learned that.
It's not necessary.
What about that http://?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that also necessary, Robert? That's
a lot of extra typing,
yeah.
I found.
datadoctors.com/radio. That'll get you to all the goods, including links to past shows, and you can go back way, way, way back in time, years and
download
years and
your favorite shows, listen to them over and over again.
You can also search for Data Doctors on iTunes and subscribe to the podcast there, and you'll have this show automagically downloaded to your favorite computer and possibly device with ease. So you can check all those things out. I think up next it's Peggy. Does that mean I have to do something or
Peggy,
not?
Yeah.
What's the green mean? Do I just do my normal thing? Oh, I see. It means I have to press the button and then I talk to Peggy like I am right now. Hey, Peggy, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hi.
I'm still learning how to do things around here. Sorry about that.
Pushing buttons, that's about
it. Well, I'm glad to know that you guys have trouble with stuff, too. I'm a total, complete techno dummy. So
we call that a cyber tard here.
Oh.
Or a techno ninny. Either way. How can
we help? I've got something that I'm extremely impressed with that I just wanted to share with you guys and with whoever's listening.
Before we get going, Peggy, you're not trying to sell something, right?
Well, I can't. Well,
is it something that you just dig as a consumer?
It's possible for people to buy it, I'm a mom that's excited about something.
Okay, then we can talk about that. Fantastic.
Okay. I found out that there is a product that can control all the stuff that we're worried about with our kids online and with their cell phones.
So specifically on their cell phones?
Well, with texting and driving.
Okay.
It can prevent them. It turns off their texting ability. They have to have a smartphone.
So if you have a smartphone that knows that you're moving, like with a GPS built in, right?
Right. So if they try to text after they go over 10 miles an hour in a car, it's turned off. That ability.
Nice. I might need that for myself. Just,
nice.
Just
yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
I'm tempted.
I could probably use that for myself. I'm a victim
admit.
As well.
I have to admit, I've done it myself.
So see, here's the reality, right, that's coming in. We all know that it's not a good thing.
Yes.
But sometimes there's the temptation, and if we could just, we almost need to remove the temptation from ourselves. Forget the law for a minute, right?
Yeah.
Just take away the ability. So there's this program that does this, and what else does it do?
It if they are sexting or participating, either receiving or participating in cyberbullying or porno type texting, you're notified.
How does it identify that?
I mean, I'm sure it's certain words and stuff, right?
Certain words and phrases.
With the bullying?
Certain words and phrases are recognized, and you get a bulletin.
Interesting.
And it also is connected. You can have it connected with your computer, with their computer, to where those same things you're notified for. Also with online predators that are, you know, seeking out victims online. There are certain phrases how they groom kids and stuff like that.
Right, right.
You recognize.
There's been software to do this on PCs for a long time, but I hadn't heard in connection with phones, and that's obviously a no-brainer. So what's this stuff called? Where do people find it, you know?
It's called Web Safety, and I don't know, could I give you my website with it or just the general website?
No, if it's something that you're trying to sell, that's people pay a lot of money to advertise on this station. So if it's just general information, we're good with that.
It's called websafety.com.
And just as a hint, Peggy, if you're calling places, if you just sound like somebody that's, you know, I'm impressed with the product, that's cool. As soon as you try selling it, people get real turned off.
No problem. Websafety.com.
Okay.
Moms will be happy.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Peggy.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
No more.
See, she ruined it at the end there. If she was just the concerned mom, I was good with it. And I'm going to go check it out. And
I'm on the website right now.
We're going to spend some time. We're going to check out this product and see if it's...
No more driving while texticated.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a great idea, but when it becomes a pitch, it makes you question it, right? It takes away I don't know. I'll reserve judgment. I'm going to check out the product. Clay's going to check it out.
Yeah,
Robert's
going to
check
the demo
it out
right now.
And maybe we'll talk about it on an upcoming show, because that sounds like something pretty cool if it's... all that.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, I see you hanging out there. Do not worry, sir. We're going to take good care of you. You just hang tight. everybody should know when you call here and you try to talk to us, the data doctors, we're not going to ignore you. We're going to make sure we hook you up. So you're in under the wire. You got our love. Sit tight. Until next time, do remember. If it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Or fix it till it is. See you next time.